Well, we're going to continue talking about characteristics in the Christian life. And we are stuck in the letter P here for a few, probably more weeks. We're going to talk about being perseverant tonight. If you know what it means to persevere, it means to persist in something or to endure in spite of opposition, discouragement, and counter-influences. And are we willing to persist? I'm a little persistent, I guess you could say. I think we ought to be. Some people mistake that for being pushy. I don't want to be pushy, but rather persistent, okay? And but to be perseverant as a Christian is something very important. So take your Bibles and turn to Galatians chapter 6, if you would. And once you find your place, if you'd like to stand out of love and respect for God's word, if you are physically able, we're going to begin in verse 1, and I'm going to read a little ways here, and then we'll leave off and get into the message tonight. Let's look at verse 1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something, when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. You say, why in the world would you feel led to bring to the Wednesday night crowd of church this characteristic of perseverance? You say, this is the cream of the crop. This is the best of the best. These are the ones that come to church during the week, for crying out loud. Right? Well, you're not going to answer because it's you that's sitting here. Well, that's okay. Just don't hurt yourself straining your arm in the back there. But it's good that you're here. And you know what? We should be here. How about this? And so much the more as you see the day approaching. Okay? Let's have church every night. You all for that? Should we? No, okay. Amen. Let's do it. I'll be here. Persevere. To persist in a state, enterprise, or undertaking in spite of counter-influences. And boy, are they out there. Uh-huh. Listen, I try not to get political. It just makes me mad when I do. So I just try not to do that because I don't like to be mad. I'm a happy kind of guy. I like to be happy. What a mess. Do you know what we can do as Christians? Persevere. We can. Hey, counter-influences. Hey, do you think that the devil enjoys having Bible-believing churches out soul-winning and promoting the Word of God and seeing people saved and baptized and added to the church and pushing forward for Christ and influencing people and changing their like we talked about, the missions, opening their blinded eyes and turning them from darkness to light and delivering them from the power of Satan unto God? You think he enjoys that? You think he's going to oppose us? Yeah, of course he is. Well, how about discouragement? We've talked many times about David on Sunday nights through Psalm 119, how he went through times of despondency and times of difficulty and times of discouragement, but yet retained his trust and hope in God. Don't you see David in Scripture as one of those that persevered? I do. Hey, how about that guy Job? How did he do? Yeah, he did pretty good, right? What about some of these other heroes of the faith? I mean, think about what Caleb had to endure. Bringing a good report and then having to mope around in the desert. And he didn't do this, but have to be around all the mopers in the desert for the next 40 years. And as soon as they cross over and get ready to go up, he said, "Hey, I want that mountain. Give it. I'm just as able as I was 40 years ago. I'm going to go after it." And he did. That's perseverance. I mean, even a guy like Peter. Ups and downs of Mr. Peter. Hey, you know, he has all these wild experiences with Christ while he's here on this earth, right? And toward the end, standing by the fire, warming himself, denies the Lord 3 times. See, out. He's done. Checked out. All over. No more work for him. I mean, he denied the Lord. He even cursed. Wow. God can't use him anymore. He's done. I'm going fishing. He goes fishing. Hot coals on the beach there, food prepared. Lovest thou me more than these? Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. 3 times. And then, boy, he starts to get it in gear. And what a wonderful book of Acts Peter has. Wonderful. My goodness. Persist. Don't give up. I love the if you've seen the cartoon, I should have wore a t-shirt that had it on there because I've seen it with t-shirts. You need to make some of these. With the frog with his arms around the throat of the pelican halfway down. And it says, never give up. I mean, come on. Persevere, Christian. Yes, it's dark. Yes, it's difficult. Yes, they're against us. They're all against us. Yes, I'm not even a whacked out conspiracy theorist. But this Bible tells us that they're against us. It warns us of the devil and his devices. It warns us of the last days, how things are going to be. It's not for us to close up shop, crawl into a hole and pine the day away. But rather to persevere, to push forward. As it says in Ephesians, we're supposed to take on the whole armor of God that we can stand. Hey, it said that the gates of hell shall not prevail against us. You know what? That doesn't mean that hell's pushing toward us. We're pushing that way. We're supposed to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. We need to do our part. We need to persevere in this age, in this time. Well, first of all, we need to persevere through the tough times. Through the tough times. In Isaiah 40, it says, "Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength." You hear that? When you spent it all, and you think that you're all done, that's when he starts laying it on. That's when he starts supporting you. That's when he starts giving you the strength and encouragement and the power that you need in your life. "Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall." You know this verse. "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." When the times get so tough that you don't think you can carry on, that's when God will carry you. You've read the poem, I know, about the footsteps, haven't you?
Wonderful poem.
Why, Lord, why are there only two sets or two footprints here? At the beginning there's two sets, and then for a while there's only two. Those are times where the Lord carried us. Just to summarize, the poem's much longer than that. In Psalm 30, David says, I will extol thee, O Lord, for thou hast lifted me up. Thou hast not made my foes to rejoice over me. O Lord, my God, I cried unto thee, and thou hast healed me. O Lord, thou hast brought up my soul from the grave, and thou hast kept me alive, that I should not go down to the pit. Sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. For his anger endureth but for a moment, and his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. And in my prosperity I said, I shall never be moved. Lord, by thy favor, thou hast made my mountain to stand strong. Thou didst hide thy face, and I was troubled. I cried to thee, O Lord, and unto the Lord I made supplication. What profit is there in my blood when I go down to the pit? Shall the dust praise thee? Shall it declare thy truth? Hear, O Lord, and have mercy upon me, Lord. Be thou my helper. Thou hast turned for me my mourning into dancing. Thou hast put off my sackcloth and girded me with gladness, to the end that my glory may sing praise to thee and not be silent. O Lord, my God, I will give thanks unto thee forever. We need to persevere. We need to persist, even in the tough times. And listen, I know they're tough. I know they're difficult. And listen, you may not be going through a difficult time right now, but I'm sure either you have, or I know you will at some time. Will you persevere? Will you be perseverant through the tough times? If you'll take your Bibles and turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Remember the story in the Gospels of the sower. We talked about that extensively this past year. Remember the ones that were on the stony ground? The Bible says that they immediately received it, the word, with gladness. And have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. You know, there are some that receive the word. They're born again even. They're saved. And yet something comes up in their lives and they're offended. They endure for a little while, but then they fall away. That's not persevering. Can we afford to do that? Remember the ones that are sown on good ground. They hear the word. They receive it. Then they bring forth fruit. They persevere. They don't let the affliction and persecution just suck the life out of them and make them void and not worth anything. God wants us to be productive. He wants us to make it through to the point where we can produce fruit. 30-fold, 60, and some 100. It's going to take time to persevere. I mean, I like things that produce. That's why I have chickens and things like that. You know, I feed you, give me something back. Okay, I like that. Okay, just like, you know, plants are that way too. I mean, flowers. I guess they're pretty, and I buy them for my wife. But I started instead of buying cut flowers for her. I started buying her plants. You know, because the cut flowers, they die in like 6 days or less, you know, and they cost a lot. So I just buy plants. They keep giving more flowers. That's good for me and good for her. But I like fruit trees. Fruit trees, love fruit trees. I planted a fruit tree once. And it was just getting to the place where it was going to go nuts and give me a bumper crop. And all of a sudden, it died. I was like super deflated. It was a Macintosh apple tree. I mean, I was looking for some apples. I think I picked like a total of 10 apples off that tree its entire existence. Like 4 or 5 years, whatever it was. Because it takes a while for them to get going. And then something ate the trunk and just dead. You know how disappointing that was? The tree didn't persevere. It didn't make it through the tough times. If I was disappointed about that, how much is God disappointed? When people don't make it through. Do you think he wants us to persevere? Do you think he wants us to make it through? I mean, do you think that he allows the tough times that come in our lives? He says, you know what? All right, I'm just going to make this as hard as I can on these, and whoever makes it, makes it, and whoever doesn't, doesn't. You think he has that attitude? I mean, listen, God is not the God of the Navy SEALs. They're disappointed if more than half the class doesn't drop out. Probably more than that, 70%. Not very many make it through. I mean, they don't think they're doing a good enough job if they don't get most of them to ring out the bell. God's not that way. He doesn't want to see how many of us he can squish and get rid of and get to ring out and quit and give up. You think he's that way? I don't. Are you there in 2 Thessalonians? Look at verse 3, chapter 1. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth, so that we ourselves glory in you, in the churches of God, for your patience and faith, in all your persecutions and tribulations that ye endure, which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that ye may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which ye also suffer, seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you, and to you who are troubled, rest with us, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction for the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. Wherefore also we pray always for you, that our God would count you worthy of this calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you, and ye in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Doesn't that sound wonderful? Well, throw that amount. Persevering in the tough times. Over in 2 Timothy, Paul said to Timothy, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. These tough times are going to come. Are you going to make it through? He says, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Hey, it's going to get worse. Paul wrote this a long time ago. Long time ago. Almost 2,000 years ago, he wrote this. You think it's gotten worse? How about worse and worse? And worse 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 and worse. Yes, it did. He says here, but continue thou. What does that sound like to you? Perseverance. Continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of. Hey, we know some stuff. We've learned some stuff. We've been equipped with some stuff. Why? To make it through the tough times. Why do you think these soldiers go through boot camp? Why do you think they go through training schools? Why do you think they go through battle scenarios? Why do you think they go through all that stuff? The different tactical drills and exercises and different things that they go through. So they'll be equipped and prepared that when the tough times comes, they're going to go forward, not turn tail and run backwards. Why do you think he says, thou endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ? This is a battle. This is a fight. The Christian life isn't just all cupcakes and sunshine and gummy worms. I don't know what else to say. I just picked that one out of the air. You like gummy worms? I like gummy worms. Gummy bears? Are they better? Have you ever seen those giant gummy bears that are like this big? You haven't. Okay, that's a total... You can get them at Michael's, I think. They're like a 3-pound gummy bear. Who's seen those? Okay, good. Who's bought one and ate it? Nobody. Okay. I think you'd be sick. All right. But we've been equipped to persevere. It's a difficult task. Not one that's impossible. Not one that we can't do. Remember, God said he's not going to put us to the test more than we can bear. He's not going to do it so that we'll not make it through. Oh, by the way, he continues here in chapter 3 of 2 Timothy. He talked about all the things he's been equipped since he was a youth. Then he says all scripture is given by inspiration of God. And it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction of righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. We need to persevere through the tough times. Now take your Bibles and turn over to Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2. Not only do we need to persevere through the tough times, we need to persevere through the good times, through the easy times. See, what do you mean? Sometimes the most dangerous times for the Christian are not the tough times, but the easy times. You know why? I'll just borrow a phrase I learned in the military, because we get fat, dumb, and happy. We get relaxed. We take it easy. We don't need to cry out to God very much anymore. We don't feel the urgency to go do this or do that because, you know, everything's okay. Kind of throw it on cruise control and just kind of relax a little bit. When really that's the time we should be pressing forward. Or making hay, to borrow an agricultural term. We need to make hay while it's time to make hay. Hey, why do you think that God, you know, when he sent Joseph down there and told Pharaoh about his dream about the cows, the skinny cows and the fat cows, right? The blistered ears of corn and the good fat ears of corn. Remember that? What did Joseph do those 7 good years? Did they just have barbecue cookouts every week and you know, live it up? No. He put away, stored up, pushed forward. So that they'd have in the years of lack and the years of not having enough. Are you there in Revelation? Look at chapter 2. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the 7 stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the 7 golden candlesticks. I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. And has borne, and has patience, and for my name's sake has labored, and has not fainted. This sounds like a church that was blowing and going. Things are good. They're doing all right. But are they? Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent and do the first works. Or else I will come unto thee quickly and remove thy candlestick out of its place, his place, except thou repent. Is God warning him? Hey, persevere in the good times. You know what? Let me put it a different way. Sweat the small stuff. Don't just say, hey, we're good. We don't have to worry about this. We don't have to worry about that. Yes, we do need to take care of those things. And push forward. Don't let your guard down. Don't relax. You say, but man, my life is so stressful and so difficult. But yeah, but the work of the Lord is not stressful. Doing what God wants for your life is not stressful. You know what? Being the pastor of this church is not stressful. You say, because we're such good congregants. Yeah, exactly. No, because this is what God called me to do. Talking to people about Christ? Not stressful. Giving out a gospel tract? Not stressful. Giving into the Lord? Not stressful. Those are just things God's equipped me to do. He's equipped you to do. We need to persevere through the good times. Hey, you want to just look down a few verses in chapter 3 and verse 14. You know this church. And unto the angel of the church of Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Why? What happened to the church of the Laodiceans? What happened to these people? He said, hey, I would rather you to be just completely out or completely in. Not this middle of the road, cruise control, laid back Christianity. What they do? What happened? Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. They got complacent. They got comfortable. We're okay. We don't need anything from God. Yes, we do. He's the source of all. Don't forget that. Even when you have enough in the bank, even when the job is going good, even when there is food in the refrigerator and ice cream in the freezer. Persevere. Push forward. Press for the mark. Remember Proverbs 27? The full soul loatheth and honeycomb. But to the hungry soul, every bitter thing is sweet. You know what? You know what I just want to say? Stay hungry. Stay hungry. For the Lord. Not for a Snickers bar. For the Lord. Even in the good times, persevere. Push forward. Or maybe I should say this. Especially in the good times, persevere. And push forward. Now, in Luke chapter 12, remember this? He spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I'll pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much good laid up for many years. Take thine ease. Drink and be merry. Eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. We need to persevere through the good times. Hey, I'm glad God has chosen to do some wonderful things for our people and provide for them. But it's not so you can just sit back and eat bonbons and watch Oprah, if that's a thing anymore. It probably isn't. I'm just dating myself there. But it's not so we can just relax and coast through life.
so we can push forward for the cause of Christ. Doing more than we could have before because we have more things to work with. Not to do less because we're content. Well, one more. Not only should we preserve in the tough time, persevere in the tough times, and persevere in the good times, the easy times, but we need to persevere to the end. To the end. Now, I may have told you this before. I don't know. Maybe I have. Maybe I haven't. But in high school, I was probably about 120 pounds, soaking wet, full of bananas. That was it. Not much to this skinny frame. There still isn't much to this skinny frame that I have. I was not built to be a football player. I love the game of football. I just wasn't built for it. So guess what I ended up doing? Running. I was a runner. Ran track and field. Ran cross country. I ran a lot. And a lot. And a lot. And a lot. You know one of the most important things about high school cross country? Perseverance. Perseverance. It's 5K, 3.1 miles is the course, normal course for the high school cross country. Okay? We would, in North Dakota, we would usually run across golf courses and or parks, you know, things like that. They would have a course mapped out and such and so forth. And the important thing was to start the race at a good pace, but not too taxing of a pace. And you just cruise along, and the first half a mile or so isn't bad. And then you get into that second half a mile, and then into the mile and a half, and to 2 miles. And by 2 miles, things start to hurt. It's just like, and the breathing is labored. But if you can make it to that 2.5 mile mark, it kind of settles out. If you push through. Persevere through the tough times. And in the easy times, you can't let up. Once your body kind of settles in and you get used to the rhythm and you can't let off and just say, okay, all right, now I'm good. I can just kind of slow it down a little bit. You gotta keep it up. You gotta keep the pace, keep the foot on the gas, if you will. And then as you approach the finish line, you see the finish line out there. You can see it ahead of you. Okay? This is not the time to say, oh, glory, it's almost there. All right, I'm going to get there. I'm going to get there. Oh, yeah, I'm going to get there. No. Now it's time to put the hammer down. When you can see those, if they have little banners or little flags or there's a group of people gathered kind of toward the finish line, that's when you put in the kick. You just give it everything. My coach used to tell me, don't leave anything out there. If you guys are all happy and cutting up on the bus and jumping around from seat to seat, I'm going to torment you for the next week because you didn't do your best. You didn't leave it all out. I mean, you ought to be just flat dead and there not be a word on that bus going home because you gave it all. Persevere to the end. I mean, I don't know how many times you've seen in different sporting events and things where especially like in the Olympics or something, and these people have been training for 4 years of their life. And they're running together and they round the corner and one of them stumbles and, you know, knocks the other one down or does this or that. The good ones don't just walk off to the side and say, there's waste of 4 years. No, they get up. Scrapes and blood or whatever running down, and they cross the finish line anyways. Persevering to the end. Paul said, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lusts, they shall heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. So then Paul says, so when that happens, Timothy, just quit. Just cash it in. It's over with. No, he didn't say that. But watch thou in all things. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered. And the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. I have persevered to the end. And he did. Wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. As we learn to be more perseverant, I'm looking around at some very persevering Christians. And I'm thankful for all of you. Could I encourage you? As we see that finish line approaching. Hey, sometimes it's been tough. Sometimes we have it easy. We need to push through those times. But more and more, I'm seeing that finish line show up. Maybe in the days of age of my life. Maybe in the days of the coming to the end of things here. In a spiritual sense. But both of them. And maybe both lines are up there. Looking unto Jesus. You know, sometimes at home, when we were running in the town I lived in, sometimes my mom and dad would be up there. You know, sometimes teachers from the school or my peers would be there. I always used to put a little bit of extra in me to push through the end. What more do you need? Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. How do you think Stephen felt? So stones were coming in. Looked up. Jesus Christ standing at the right hand of God. He persevered to the end. Will you? Will I? We need to be persevering.